Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks-Cores, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, Amy Marks-Cores, Chris Ronchi.
What are you fiddling with over there?
He's talking slowly
because he's trying to undo a knot.
No, I'm not. I can do whatever I need to do without doing this. Hey, let's have a good time.
Should we have a great time? Here's why we're going to have a great day. Ronge is wearing a colorful shirt.
Well, let's not make a big deal about the shirt I'm wearing.
It's red.
Can we just move on?
I don't think so.
Can we just have a day?
Does everything have
to be about me?
Oftentimes, yes.
You guys are so preoccupied with what I'm doing. Maybe you should worry about yourselves. Good morning, everybody. We're happy to be here today because it is Tuesday. We're with you till 12 o'clock, till the Gas House Gang with Ollie Marmel. He's part of the show at 12. 314-436-7900. Join us, Amy and me, today. Also, on the Odyssey app, leave voice messages. And if you want to watch us, you want to see this bright red shirt?
Yeah.
It's not even that bright. If you want to see this red shirt, you want to see Amy's white shirt
and my sweaty bun? Because guess what? This is sweat.
Is that sweat?
Yeah.
Holding it together? That is so gross. You can see Matt Pajeski as well.
This is why I can't be on TV.
On YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Follow us, please, at ChrisAmyKMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Well, a gunman in New York City walked into an office building and shot multiple people. Four have died, including a police officer. We'll have more on that today.
And you may have noticed that your Ameren bill is through the roof.
Ugh.
What in the world is going on? Maria Kina had the story this morning in Total Information AM. We'll revisit that, and we want to hear from you. If you need to vent about your electric bill,
yeah, tell us about it.
Tell us about it. 314-436-7900.
Drop a text, leave a voice message on the Odyssey app. Something's going to have to give there. That can't keep. This is not sustainable. Cardinals beat the Marlins 7-1 last night. They'll play tonight 6:45. As I mentioned, Ollie Marmel, part of the Gas House Gang, every Tuesday at 12 o'clock. So he is with us today. A lot to talk about with the Cardinals manager. So as we mentioned, a man yesterday afternoon, I guess it was late afternoon, walked into an office building in Manhattan in New York City and thought he was going to the NFL offices, but it was a building that had multiple different companies inside. NFL was there. Blackstone, which is an investment firm, was also there. He took the wrong elevator. He thought he was going to the NFL offices, and he went to Blackstone instead. The one NFL employee was hurt in the shooting. This person ended up killing four people who worked at Blackstone. Actually, one of them was a New York City police officer. So a note that was found on the suspect's person said that he had CTE and claimed that he played high school football several years ago and blamed his CTE on the NFL. And we know that famously going back 10 to 15 years, a lot of research has been done on brain injuries in the NFL, in the NHL. And we know that the league in particular, the football league, has sort of, or did for a while, I think, try to minimize just how bad the situation was. I don't really know this guy's deal. I don't know his medical history. Clearly, he had an issue with mental illness, and there were multiple run-ins with authorities in the past with the suspect, and his name is Shane Tamura. So don't really know, and we'll probably find out more about him as the days go by.
As you mentioned, with the CTE and the football,
yeah.
He was a competitive football player in his youth.
Yeah, in high school.
So there's they do say that with CTE, it's not just one big hit to the head, but it's repeated hits over and over again, especially when you're starting at a young age, something that's a concern. And so, yeah, we don't know exactly, but they did have that note in his pocket.
So I think it's worth noting that it is very possible, and again, don't know his medical history, but it is very possible that the chronic traumatic encephalopathy ended up causing some sort of disorder that would force a person to do this. We have heard that Aaron Hernandez, famously with the New England Patriots, who committed murder and went to jail for it, that he had. We have seen multiple former NFL players do some really strange things in their lives during football and after football. So I am really interested to know if this is exactly what happened, if it is because of CTE or if he just used it. But clearly the guy was motivated to go to that office and do something. He went to the wrong place. He wasn't where he thought he was. But that is incredibly frightening, what happened in New York.
Yeah. No, it is. And to look at the CTE angle, which, of course, I think, you know, you want to focus on the victims right now. And you mentioned some of the Blackstone employees who were killed. Then also a police officer. He was the police officer that was killed was 36 years old, an immigrant from Bangladesh, became a New York City police officer, had two young sons, and his wife is pregnant with their third child. Just so devastating. And so obviously, first and foremost, you're looking at the victims, praying for them and their families. When you look at the CTE aspect, just kind of breaking down, and we need to, you know, find out more. We don't know. I do wonder if they will test his brain, if they can, to see if there is CTE.
When he dies, they can do it. And that's what is really sad about the disease, is that it's very difficult to know for sure until a person dies, until you can actually examine the brain, what is there. I mean, they can do testing, but it's not the same.
Well, he is dead, though.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, sorry. I'm talking about the suspect.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
okay.
Sorry.
Never mind.
Okay. I didn't know. Can they, the suspect...
They can.
In the New York City shooting. I don't know how it works, you know, if they got to get it from his family or if it's different.
That's a great question. I have no idea.
But I think they should.
They should. I don't know if they can force it on the family. And I don't know that they can do an autopsy without the family's consent. And this is a great question for law enforcement, because it might be a thing that if they commit a crime, they lose that, that
privacy.
I don't know if you call it privacy when a person is dead. But this is, you know, he had said in the note that he wanted his brain to be studied. So maybe they would do it. I don't know if they would do it based on just a note, but again, they should. And do you remember, Amy, you may or may not, you know, Junior Seau was a prolific NFL player. And there was a guy named Dave Duerson who played before that. And both of them were suffering from CTE and had it really, really bad later in life. And both of them did the exact same thing. They committed suicide by shooting themselves in the chest. And so, they did it with the explicit purpose of having their brains tested after the fact, because they wanted everybody to know that something was wrong with them. And they wanted that to be studied and documented,
and
which is really sad if you think about it.
And I know this is different. This is different than being drunk. But if you're drunk and you start doing and saying horrible things, you can't say, oh, it's just the alcohol. Somewhere that's inside of you.
Sure.
So I do want to differentiate between this guy who committed a mass murder and someone who had CTE and took their own lives. I want to make sure that people know that those are two very different things.
And it's also possible that he had no CTE at all. It's possible he just said it.
Yes. And that's the thing. And if he did have CTE, he still had this incredibly violent tendency in him, had issues, you know, whether it was anger issues or mental illness or whatever. That would have to be in conjunction with CTE, because one, people who have CTE, you've seen people who so tragically take their own lives, but they're not hurting other people. And with this one, we don't even know. This was just in his pocket, this letter. So until they know if he even had it, I mean, it could be a guy who's paranoid, who thinks, oh, I played football, I must have it, and was kind of, you know, crazy anyway.
Right.
He could have just been crazy anyway.
He could have just been, you know, thought he had it. I
because
don't.
Like if I played football or whatever and I was depressed and I'm thinking, yeah, and I'm getting worked up about the NFL, I mean, that could be a mental illness issue that he had that's not CTE related. Because I'll tell you what, if you told, like, I feel fine, but if you told me later on today that you have COVID, 100% I would start to feel like I have COVID. So you can convince yourself of all sorts of things.
Oh, well, yeah, I would agree with that. And it's possible that's what happened here. You know, from the perspective of that particular brain injury and how it has affected people. And again, he was not in the NFL. This was somebody who played high school football. And that is a thing that I think a lot of parents have been now for the last 10 to 15 years more conscious of the dangers of youth football and what can happen to kids as they get into high school then and play in college. And as you mentioned, the accumulated, not necessarily head trauma, but just, you know, the brain rattling around inside the skull, which you can't do anything about, that over time it can have some ill effects. Of course, the longer you play football and the more head hits you take, the worse it can be. But I am interested to know, with all of these measures that have been done at all levels, professional level, collegiate level, even at the high school level, if it's all working. I'm curious to know if it is working, if all of these preventative head injury measures that have been taken around the country, if it is preventing more severe cases of CTE. Because we have seen a lot of football players just act weird. Antonio Brown is a guy I think about a lot. And there was at least a couple of times he took really big hits to the head. One of them was by a guy named Vontaze Burfict, who was sort of known as a dirty player. A lot of people think he is. And he got one particular hit from Burfict. And he seems to have never been the same since. He's done all kinds of weird stuff, you know, leaving the field and taking his shirt off as he's running away from the sideline. Just really, really strange stuff. And it's sad. At some point, yes, it is the person. But also, if they've been dealing with a brain injury, you kind of have to have a lot of sympathy for them too, no matter how weird they've been.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is a difficult conversation in the sense that it's almost like two conversations right now.
It really is.
Because there's CTE and the pain that people with CTE go through. And like I said, I feel like more often than not, it's them hurting themselves. Then there's this mass murderer who ruined the lives of families.
Multiple people.
Who stole a father from three little kids, a baby that's not born yet, you know, stole a husband from wife, stole a wife from husbands. And he is a mass murderer. And if you have CTE, that is awful. It doesn't mean...
It doesn't excuse this.
It doesn't excuse being a mass murderer. And we don't know. But we don't know if he has
right.
it. Because if this guy... It will obviously mentally ill or evil in some capacity. He could have convinced himself he has it. We don't know.
But if it turns out he does, while it is not excusable what he did, I think we have to have some sympathy for the disease. Actually, we need to have a lot of sympathy for it, because the only way you can help fix it is by having that sympathy.
For the disease, but I mean, I don't. You mean, I think it needs to be careful with being clear that a lot of people have CTE.
And don't do this.
They're not mass murderers.
Right,
and so this guy was awful.
Well, I don't have sympathy for him in doing this. What I'm saying is you're not forced to play football. I know that. And kids, I know that a lot of parents just don't want their kids to play because of stuff like this. I just think the awareness of it and the continued awareness of it is the only thing that leads us to a path where ultimately they can figure out a way to minimize the effects of it, right? It's just like any other disease. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about lung cancer all the time, or blood cancers, or dementia, all of these things. And by the way, CTE can lead to dementia and that sort of thing. We just have to stay on top of it.
Yeah.
But it is, the entire situation is really sad. And I'd love to know ultimately if this guy suffered from it for real or if he just said it in the note.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tragic. And again, just our hearts are broken for the victims' families and people who were in the, I mean, the people who survived, the people who weren't shot, who experienced that traumatic event. What does life look like for you moving forward?
Yeah, stays with you forever.
Yeah.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Join the show today. We want to hear from you. Dave Simons, partner and managing director of One Private Wealth, will join us at 10 o'clock as he always does. We'll talk Cardinals with John Denton from MLB.com. And there is a documentary that is coming out next month. And we are going to talk to Darren Seals, who is a community leader with the Sankofa Unity Center, coming here. He'll be in studio with us, and the documentary is called Catching Bullets, and it is opening in Pagedale, Missouri. So we're gonna talk to Darren later on in the show. Want to hear from you, 314-436-7900. Chris and Amy on KMOX.
We were talking about the gunman that killed four people in New York City. We focused on the CTE or alleged CTE aspect.
Because he claimed to have it.
Yeah, and that's why he had a beef with the NFL. He didn't explain what that was in his note, just said he had an issue with it. He played youth football, claimed he had CTE, but I think, you know, the focus of the story absolutely needs to be on the victims of this mass murderer. And Ranj, I don't know if it's because we're in the news. And so perhaps I feel like I absorb more stories than I would like to.
Right.
But I do find myself, when you hear these stories, or thinking, if I go to an event, would I act courageously? Would it be instinctive for me to be sacrificial in a situation like that? Like a shooter, like, you know, there was the stabbing at the Walmart, which was awful, tragic. What was it? 11 people were stabbed at that Walmart a couple days ago. And if something like that were to happen, I pray, I really do pray that my first instinct without thinking would be to be sacrificial, throw yourself on top of somebody, right? To protect them from gunfire or something. It's such a dark thought, but I have had that thought before.
Well, I would think that I would protect, if I'm with somebody, you know, protect them. I don't know about strangers. I don't really know. I would like to think I would. And I think all of us would like to think that we would spring into action and we would do something courageous. I don't think anybody really knows until it happens to them. Even police officers who are trained with weapons sometimes don't really know how they're going to react when something goes down.
Because I do think maybe, you know, that the human nature is self-preservation.
Yeah.
But I don't want that to be my inclination in a situation like that. And if you've, you know, if you're in law enforcement or have been in a situation and you want to share, 314-436-7900, you can call or text. But I do, you know, you think how you can't recreate that situation, right? You never know until you're in it. But I just would want to be sacrificial because you see people who are immediately sacrificial. You see those teachers, right, who throw their bodies over the kids.
Well, that is, I think that is, that's coming from a place of love because they have an attachment to the kids. You know, if you're out and about and it happens, you have an attachment to your partner and somebody starts shooting, you're probably going to jump and, you know, try to save your partner. You know, your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever. I think you're going to do that. I think that you can't really know for sure how you're going to react until the danger is present. That's why when people do train a lot, you know, police train for these situations, even in the military, they train. You don't really know until there's actual danger, because up until that point, it's just a drill. So like in a tornado or a fire, you do those drills. You're just kind of going about the motions, going about the business, and then you go and you do whatever you have to. But until there's an actual fire and you're in the middle of it, you don't know how you're going to react. And I will tell you this. I think it is because of things like Columbine and Aurora and mall shootings that pretty much any time I go anywhere in public, while I may not be thinking about it the entire time, I am always somewhere in my brain aware of the fact that, hey, somebody can come in here and start shooting. I think about, I went to see a movie the other day. That I thought about it. And one of the things I thought about is, should I be closer to the door or the back door where we all walk in? Or should I be further away from it? Would I be the first person, you know, if they came in and I'm sitting right there? Like, I think about that stuff and it sucks. And it's sad that as a society we have to. And maybe I'm a little crazier.
We're probably in it. We're steeped
probably.
In it. We're steeped in it.
I would guess most people don't think like that. But I am always a concert. I think about it at a concert.
So, and I know this is why, too, why we have, you know, we want to honor our first responders, honor our military, because that is their job, is to run towards the gunfire. That's their job, is to run into the fire, you know, a burning flames. You think of 9/11 and all the firefighters that went up in those towers knowing they were not going to come back
out. Well, I don't know that all of them did, because nobody believed that whole those buildings were going to come down.
Or knowing how dangerous the situation
was. Right, sure.
Yeah.
It's a person who does that instinctively.
Yeah.
Is there's something special about you. If you can do that. And we would all like to think we would, but I think most of us have no idea until something bad happens that hopefully you never experience. Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji here today.
Chris Ranji, Amy Markscores with you on this soupy.
Disgusting. The dew point is 78.
Day. Not going to lie, guys.
78.
This morning.
It starts to get uncomfortable at like 65.
Yes. 74 is considered tropical.
Disgusting.
Well, tropical, disgusting, yeah. Well, at any rate, it is a very soupy, very hot, and I think, I could be wrong, but I think this morning was the soupiest morning of all the mornings so far this summer, because I ran this morning, and I lost 4 pounds of sweat in an hour and 10 minutes. 4 pounds? That's a lot.
Well, that's on you for how long did you run?
Hour and 10 minutes.
That's on you for running an hour and 10 minutes in this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I almost said a bad word.
You can't do that. So at any rate, you know, people have, you know, keep your air conditioning on, trying to stay cool. I know Ameren says to keep it at 78. That's insane.
I'm at 75 right now.
Oh, are me you too, Matt?
Yeah, me too.
But does your place feel warm right now?
It's a little warm. It's getting there.
Okay.
But my bill was really high, so I had to bump it up.
Yeah.
See, I haven't gotten I've got my first bill.
He moved to a cave.
I must be in a cave because it stays cool in there all the time. And I'm at 75 and it feels, when I open the door from the outside, it's like, air's on.
Oh,
and
that's
it's barely
insane.
On. It's crazy. Well, anyway, I would love to know what the next bill is going to be. And by the way, Colonel Ripper tells us to
stop complaining.
Yeah, he's watching on YouTube, says stop complaining.
Well, we will.
We will not. Oh. We will not stop
on Thursday.
Complaining. Yes, when it's in the high 70s,
yes.
Absolutely.
So Ameren customers, now we talked about this a few weeks ago, because remember when I lived in my little tiny one-bedroom studio, 300 square feet on a good day, my bill was pretty consistently $32 for electric, and then it doubled to $60, almost doubled to $60, and guess what? I moved out. I kept it at 78. It was still $60, the last bill. So we talked about the Ameren rates, and Ameren, Missouri raised its residential electricity rates by 12% on June 1st, but it seems that the rates are just spiking even higher than people were expecting, more than the Ameren said it would be $12 more a month or something like that per customer, and it's been a lot more than that. Yeah, $12 a month is what they averaged. But Maria Kina looked into this story more and had a very interesting conversation.
Ameren's customer advocacy manager, Paige Selby, also points to the electricity rate being higher in the summer and usage being much more because of the extreme heat recently. She recommends unplugging things like phone chargers that are not in use.
So there's little things like that that, you know, can also add up.
Now, everyone I've spoken with, when they contacted Ameren, well, your usage is comparable to last year. So if that's the case, if it's being compared to last year, how is it that it doubled this year?
You know, I can't speak to that because every account and everybody's usage is going to be different. So without looking at the, you know, the specific bills, I wouldn't be able to speak to that other than to say, you know, there's also different rate options available. So, you know, if people look at the way that and when they use it, they might want to try a time of use rate, which has some opportunities to save. Like our evening morning savers, you pay a little bit less.
So when they receive these bills, and a lot of people, it's kind of been shell shocked to see a bill more than double, close to 50%.
Mm-hmm.
What should they do at that point, especially if they can't maybe make that payment?
Sure. If they can't pay it, then we really encourage them to reach out and talk to us because we have lots of options available. And, you know, we always will set up a payment agreement. Most people are eligible for those payment agreements where you can pay it off over time. But even more than that, I encourage folks to look at our website about many of the programs that are available. There are so many programs, and I never cease to be amazed at how many people I talk to that don't realize that they're eligible for it. Or maybe they applied in the past and they weren't eligible, and so they don't realize that the income eligibility has gone up, and maybe now they do qualify. If they got LIHEAP earlier this year, they're also available for crisis assistance if they are facing a disconnection. There's dollar more assistance.
And Paige, can you explain to the listeners so they understand what was this 12% increase for?
So it was for investments that have already been made in our system, which we saw a lot of success in the last storms with outages prevented. So we continue to make investments to make sure that everybody has that AC. And when you flip the light switch on, the lights come on. So that's what those investments are.
As to why Ameren, Missouri chose to enact the 12% rate hike June 1st, when the electricity rates are already higher in the summer months, that still isn't clear. Maria Aquina, KMOX News.
Yeah, I wasn't satisfied with some of those answers.
It was kind of a non-answer.
So if usage rate is not higher year to year, which is what Maria mm-hmm. asked, then why is it up 40%? She's like, well, I can't speak to everybody's usage. Everybody's there. That doesn't answer the question. We're talking about, generally speaking, mm-hmm. why are bills up 40% if usage is not necessarily up over last year at this
year.
Exact same time?
Right. Because they
when
also
last year was also hot. This
yes.
is not different.
And they said that usage is up now. Usage is up now. I guess what she was referring to is because it's summer, but it's not up year over year.
Yeah.
So I feel like I didn't learn anything.
No,
like,
and I'll tell you what. That's I know that's a PR person speaking.
Yeah.
So she's not going to really help us out.
So,
but here's what I do know: they're going to have to figure it out because and nationally we're going to have to figure it out too because it's not just Ameren. Prices are expected to be up across the board around the country, something like 22%. And so we're all going to have to figure it out somehow. And a lot of this, not a lot, a decent amount of this is being driven by data centers
mm-hmm.
because all these new data centers that are being built around the country are sucking up a lot of
yeah.
power.
So,
and so that's going to come back on all of us. But I know this as well. This is not sustainable. People cannot have a $30 bill one month and the next month it is $200. That's just, it's not going to work for people. So somebody's going to have to figure it out.
So Fox 2, our friends over at Fox 2, talked to multiple people reporting that their bills just skyrocketed. They noted one customer reported an increase from a bill that was $105 in June to $254 in July. Another reported an increase from $120 to $395. That is a massive budgeting issue.
Yes, it is.
Because you're looking at my goodness, I mean, you're looking at rates that are half of your grocery bill or what, you know, a rate change that would be a huge chunk of cash out of your monthly budget that you were not expecting.
And most people, I mean, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of people are not going to be able to afford that. So something is going to have to give. Joey is in Carondelet with us now on KMOX. Hi, Joey.
Hey, what's up, Ranger? Amy, how you guys doing?
Oh, boy.
I know.
Oh, boy. Where are you coming from?
I'm coming from being angry at Ameren.
Okay.
Okay. We didn't know what
you,
we
threw, you threw out the Ranger. I needed to know what that was about. Okay.
Well, no, it's Claves. Yeah, it's Claves.
Oh, there you
he
go.
He calls you Ranger.
There you go.
Yeah. Long-time listener. So I got my bill last month, and it was $22.19.
Oh.
And I moved out of the building and turned the air conditioning up to like 80. Oh. My bill for this month of the place that I just moved out of is $170. That's a $750 increase or 750% increase.
So you went for, hold
legal?
On a second.
At what point is it not legal?
So you turned the thermostat up to 80.
Correct.
Which means the AC was barely working.
Correct.
And it went up. It went from 22 to 170.
That's correct.
What in the hell?
Okay.
I didn't want to say that, but yeah.
Yeah.
At some point, and I'm being like completely serious here because, you know, they said, yes, there's a 12% increase. For most homes, it will be a $12 increase. Again, at what point, you know, I hate to say in the free market, like, this is illegal.
And but thank you, Joey.
You can't. Yeah. What Joey just experienced, a 700% increase.
Come on, man. That's not sustainable. What if he had left? What if he had left the temperature at 72?
Well,
what would it have gone to?
And here's why I mean,
250.
And I totally believe Joey because I, like I said, my 300 square foot apartment that jumped from $30 to $60. I was living with it at like 68 degrees when it was $30, and then I've been keeping it at 78 because I'm not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that jumped up to 60.
That's absolute insanity. Apparently, Brad Young has called in.
Brad Young, this legal?
Yeah, Brad, who can we sue over this?
Yeah, that'd be a great idea, guys. No, here's what I'm going to keep you informed of doing. Solar energy, of course, it would be a nice, attractive option. But you've got to spend, you know, you literally have to donate an arm and a leg, and then you're armless and legless in order to get those ceiling, you know, rooftop solar panels.
Right.
So what I've done, I'm starting my experiment at the end of July. I bought two solar panels. They cost me $140 for both of them, $70 a piece. And I bought a microinverter that cost me $120, and I'm hooking it up this weekend. And if my back of the envelope estimates are correct, just that simple, modest investment could reduce a summertime electric bill by 25%. Just with that modest investment. So I'm going to try that out, and I'll certainly keep you informed of the results of my experiment. But, you know, when people say solar, it'll really cut your electric bill. Yeah, but who's got, you know, $500,000
to invest up front.
It's crazy. Yeah. Very few people can actually do that. Mm-hmm. So my total investment is $300. That's doable. All right. And if it would reduce your electric costs in the summertime by 20-25%, that's truly a viable option.
Hey, Brad, in all seriousness, too, with when I was saying, is this legal? So you have the regulators and the Missouri Public Services Commission approving that 12% increase. And Ameren said, well, it'll be $12 for most people. It's not $12 for most people.
No.
At what point do you say this is misleading and you can't have a $60 electric bill jump to $300 and surprise people? That's a huge budget issue.
Right. And there's actually a legal way to do that. And the legal way to do that is you would have to have hard numbers. I mean, for example, with the interview that Maria just did, you know, that person was more slippy, if that's the correct word.
Slipperier.
Sorry, I've only had two cups of coffee.
I rest my case.
That's why. That's the reason why I don't do morning radio. Okay, it's usually afternoon radio. I've had plenty of coffee, but you know, she's
no banana peel cases.
Correct. But she's worse than, you know, trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. Yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's impossible. But if you had hard numbers and could show that your kilowatt hour usage from last year to this year is identical and your bill goes up by 50%, that would be sufficient to legally challenge the alleged 12% rate increase.
We need someone to do that. Who can measure their kilowatts?
It's really not hard. In fact, Ameren gives you the data. You can ask for all of your electric usage directly from Ameren, and they've got to give it to you. And then when they give it to you, you can turn around and use that to challenge the amount of their rate increase.
Okay. This is good stuff, Brad, because, I find this upsetting. Like,
it is upsetting because, listen, here's the reason why it's upsetting. The reason why the electric utilities have to go and get a rate increase approval is because they are a monopoly. Monopolies
exactly
are by
right.
definition bad, okay? Because there's no competition. But when you've got a monopoly that says, oh, we're only going to raise your rates by 12%, and then you've got a 50% increase in your electric bill, then by definition, if that is occurring, that monopoly is violating the public trust that allows the monopoly to exist in the first place.
Brad Young, we appreciate you jumping in on this.
Thank you.
And we're gonna need you to get involved with the class action lawsuit, which is inevitable.
Well, listen, you know, as long as the fees are there, you got me.
This guy. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, Harris Dowell, Fisher & Young, partner there.
Good stuff.
Yeah, man. This can't go on. It's not sustainable. There are some people like, no big deal, whatever. I could pay for it. Not most people.
Not me.
By the way, our question of the week on our Twitter account, you need to follow us at Chris Amy KMOX, and we have a question of the week.
Topic. With your AC, even if you set it at 80, do you keep the AC fan on all the time or do you let the AC completely, the fan shut off? I've heard both theories, that you keep the fan on all the time, no matter what you set it at, or you have the fan shut off when the AC
The theory is that if you let it be warm during the day and then you come home and turn it on up high later, you're using a bunch of energy to cool the place down.
Is it? Because the fan's on.
Right.
No matter what.
So let us know. Follow us on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX. Let us know what you do. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Okay, this is kind of dark, but China, which is usually plays the long game, like they think in terms of like millennia.
Yeah.
Unlike Americans.
20 years ahead.
They're
all about the now.
Well, they're like not 20 years ahead. They're 500 years ahead.
Whatever.
Usually. Except really super short-sighted when they had their evil and tragic one baby policy. That's when all the window babies, little girls would die. It was awful. But they had one baby policy for years and years and years. That was only rescinded in 2016. Well, guess what? China, one, has a surplus of men. There's like 30 million more men than girls because people were prioritizing sons. So they don't have anyone to marry. And two, they don't have enough babies being born to maintain a stable population. People got used to having one kid. So now they are paying $500 a year for the first 3 years to have kids. It's a birthing incentive. We'll give you $500 a year for the first 3 years if you have a kid, because they basically trained a population to not have kids. Because when you do have one child, you will allocate your finances differently. You can live a certain lifestyle and that kid can expect certain things when you only have one kid versus four or five. So it's not just that, once we allow people to have more kids, they'll have more kids. No, you've changed a culture. You've changed a culture to where now they're used to one kid. It's a huge issue and people are not having kids in China.
We will talk to Dave Simons, partner and managing director of One Private Wealth. The Fed will have an announcement on interest rates tomorrow. Expected. Also, unemployment report is coming out later in the week. We'll have inflation numbers. So a lot of stuff to talk about with Dave Simons, how it affects your finances. Dave is next on 104.1 FM KMOX.